RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So, let's discuss the latest GDP and immigration figures. New Zealand is in a recession as severe as the 2008 Great Recession, with GDP declining 0.2% in the June 2024 quarter and down 0.5% year over year. So what does this mean? Coming back on RCR is Michael Riddell, former RBNZ economist, now independent. He writes at, of course, Croaking Cassandra. Michael, welcome back to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Paul.
Okay, that doesn't sound too bad. 0.2%. Is that severe?
On its own, no. And so the comparison with 2008 is really being done on what they call per capita numbers. So what's different from 2008 is that we've still had lots of immigrants coming in over the last 18 months. So the population's been growing at 1.5 to 2% a year. So if you get zero growth in GDP and 1.5 to 2% population growth, we're all on average getting poorer.
Does that mean going backwards? Does that mean we're going backwards in that time?
Yeah, we have. I mean, the economy got very, very overheated in 2022 after COVID. The Reserve Bank badly misjudged things. We got extremely low, unsustainably low unemployment. And inflation, of course, took off to 6 or 7%. And so for the last 2 years, the Reserve Bank has essentially been battling to get inflation back down again. And the way you get it down again is to squeeze spending, squeeze activity. And so GDP falls back.
Seven consecutive quarters. Stagnant or declining GDP per capita. How many times have we had these conditions in our economy, Michael?
Well, we've only got the data back to 1991 on a quarterly basis. So the closest comparison is the 2008-2009 episode. And I think we've got one more quarter negative than then. It's worth bearing in mind that in that recession in 2008-09, the unemployment rate got almost up to 7%. At the moment, it's about 4.5%. The Reserve Bank thinks it's going to get up to about 5.5%. So still not as bad as we saw on that occasion.
Is it sensible to have the immigration rates that we're having if our per capita GDP is going backwards? Does that make sense?
I mean, I've been a skeptic of large-scale immigration for a long time. You know, New Zealand's got terrible productivity growth. It looks like there just aren't that many profitable opportunities in this really remote corner of the world. And so bringing in a lot of foreigners to replace the New Zealanders who are leaving just isn't very logical. But I mean, what's gone on a bit in the last couple of years is we had the borders closed for a couple of years. So once they were reopened, you got a sort of catch-up rush of people coming in. At that time, the economy was badly overheated, so employers were willing to hire almost anyone who was breathing, whether they were competent or not. And that dynamic's now changed. It's a lot harder to get a job. And so we're seeing the immigration numbers of foreigners dropping off. And at the same time, the number of New Zealanders going to Australia is continuing to rise.
Yeah, it's. I saw a figure of 81,000.
Yeah, that's right. And the Australian economy is running more strongly than ours is. Inflation's coming down more slowly over there. And, of course, wages over there tend to be higher than here. So when their labour market's strong, New Zealanders will go. And, again, the borders were closed for a couple of years. So there's a generation of young people, a couple of years of them, who would have gone then and are now going now. Probably at some point it will settle back down to maybe 40 or 50,000 outflow a year. But it's still a large number of New Zealanders for a country of just over 5 million.
So we're seeing a pent-up demand being released. This is sort of what you're saying.
It's sort of a combination of you had that after COVID, and then now the fact that we've had this recession for the last couple of years, the labour market's weak, it's harder to get a job here. The labour market in Australia is still quite buoyant. The Reserve Bank over there hasn't been as strong as our Reserve Bank in clamping down on getting inflation down. And they've come in for quite some criticism. I mean, you know, as your listeners may know, I'm not one of the Reserve Bank's biggest fans, but they've actually done the job finally of getting inflation down. The same right. Can't be said of their peers in Australia.
You mentioned the word productivity just before. I'm always interested to kind of get to the bottom of what that actually means. Does that mean that we're kind of lazy? Or does it mean, like you sort of couched it then, that the opportunities aren't there, or we haven't made the opportunities, or I guess we're on the winds of the global economy? What is, when you say productivity, what do you actually mean?
Okay, so we definitely don't mean New Zealand workers are lazy. I mean, they're not. New Zealand workers work relatively long hours by international standards and work pretty hard. But really the question is much more about the economic opportunities. So where are there businesses who are wanting to invest in New Zealand to put a lot of capital in that complements labour? So in really highly productive economies, you have full employment and a lot of capital complementing the labour, going with the labour, enabling you to get a lot more value out of those workers. And we just haven't succeeded in doing that in New Zealand over decades now. You know, we used to be probably second, third richest country in the world 70, 80 years ago. We're now probably 30th richest in the world. And nothing has really turned that around any time in the last few decades. Now, productivity in New Zealand has been poor, as it's been in a bunch of other countries in the last 5 or 6 years. So we're not unique there. It's just that we never show any sign of catching up. And so we're sort of drifting down to that point where you struggle to call us a first world country anymore.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, any idea what we're missing, what we're not doing right?
There's a whole bunch of relatively small things. I mean, we have quite high company tax rates. So if you're a firm, particularly an overseas investor looking at investing here, you've got to look at the tax rate and say, well, it's a high cost, it's a remote place, why invest here? Our planning laws, land use laws are quite restrictive. The government's looking at doing something on that. We'll see what that comes to. I've argued that immigration itself doesn't help, that what we've done is we've brought in a huge number of people over the last 20 or 30 years into an economy that doesn't have a great number of opportunities. And then we've needed to, you know, build houses and roads and offices and factories and all those sorts of things for the new people who are arriving. That's skewed the economy inwards. Successful economies are skewed outwards. So to me, that's probably the single biggest contributor to our problems, that, you know, if we'd settled some decades ago for being a country that, you know, had 3 million people, I suspect we'd be quite a bit better off today.
Yeah, we're almost double that now. So, because we know about the added cost to ratepayers of accommodating new suburbs and increase in immigration, having to house them, all that sort of stuff. And it seems that many of our local government authorities, councils are in quite big debt. Rates have gone up. Does that affect per capita GDP or does on income, doesn't it? I mean, if you're paying an extra $2,000 or $3,000 a year in rates, that's the opposite of having a pay rise.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly affects purchasing power for households, but no, mostly it's a transfer from households to councils. It doesn't affect the overall productivity or overall GDP numbers. It's just who gets to spend it.
Okay, the Fed, I think, has cut, 55 basis points? 50 yep. points. And was that about when people thought it might happen?
It was certainly a win. Until last week, most people expected they'd cut by 25 points. And they seem to have concluded that the economy is a bit weaker than people had thought and that they might as well get on and do a larger cut first off.
What sort of pressure does that put on our RBNZ to make another move, another cut?
I don't think there's any doubt that they will cut over the rest of this year, and I don't think they'll be very influenced by what the Fed's done. I mean, inflation here is coming down quite sharply as well. Our economy is pretty weak. Those two go hand in hand. The weakness of the economy is getting the inflation back down again. So having started their easing cycle last month, I would expect that they will continue that probably in 25-point bites in October and again in November.
The role of government in all of this. What do they need to do? Do they need to reduce the cost of government? Is there anything that they can do to improve the situation, policy or monetary-wise?
In terms of the economy in the short run, the government's going to be acting as a drag on the economy because, you know, the previous government left them with quite big deficits. They've got to close those deficits. That's going to mean expenditure restraint, expenditure cuts over the next 2 to 3 years. And the Reserve Bank will be taking that into account. It will be one of the things that contributes to them cutting the OCR over the next 12 or 18 months. Longer term, I mean, the challenges are those ones around, you know, fixing the RMA, doing something about company tax rates, not putting higher regulatory burdens on business, and maybe finally waking up to the fact that high immigration into New Zealand is not necessarily helpful for New Zealanders.
The government has come out and announced dumping the RMA and replacing it with two bills So they are making a move there.
Yeah, and actually Labor did the same thing. So Labor put two bills in place last year, and when National came in, they just repealed those two and went back to the RMA. I think if you look at the announcement today, the principles that the government has announced look fine. The devil, as always, is going to be in the detail. You know, this legislation is very, very long, and even once it's passed, it's going to be open to the courts as to how it gets interpreted and applied. So it looks like a step in the right direction, but we may not know for 5 or 10 years.
Just going back to the comment you made about corporate tax and taxation in general and the long period of sluggish productivity, is it time now to really look at how we do taxation in this country and kind of reinvent it? Are we getting close to that?
We may be getting close to having that conversation. I mean, I think from the Labor Party side of things, and the Greens even more so, they want to tax capital quite heavily. From a conventional economics perspective, that's the utterly the wrong thing to be doing. You know, we don't have much business investment in this country. We want more business investment. And so that's why I make the point that we've got one of the highest company tax rates in the world. We actually want to be lowering that and probably shifting more of the burden onto GST. I think our overall levels of taxation in this country as a share of GDP aren't high by international standards. They're, I think, just below the OECD average, not very high, not very low. It's more a question about the mix. You just do not want to be putting that burden on businesses when you've struggled to get business investment for decades. You know, we've got quite restrictive rules on foreign investment as well. That's something else the government has said they're going to look at. They haven't done much about it yet. But if we could do that in combination, make it easier for foreigners to invest, easier to use land, the new RMA legislation, and lower company tax rates, then we might finally start to see things begin to move in the right direction from a productivity perspective.
Have you got an ideal company tax rate in mind?
Oh, I mean, there's a reasonable logic in theory for zero, but, you know, that's a sort of extreme point. I think at very least you'd probably want to be looking for at 15 or 20%. I think there's an OECD agreement that countries have agreed they're going to have a minimum company tax rate of 15%. So, you know, we'd struggle to get below that. But yep, if we were down there, then we would look very competitive relative to a bunch of other successful small economies in Eastern Europe and Ireland and those sorts of places. We've still got the disadvantage of being extremely remote, but we put ourselves back on the playing field where people will start looking at opportunities here.
And is there potential to do better out of that than the tax take from the existing kind of levels of investment? Would it generate economic activity to override what might have been lost on the tax? Let's say if it went to zero.
I mean, I think you would lose tax revenue in total. You would have to make up for it by other expenditure savings or other tax increases. In economic theory, consumption taxes are the ones that are least distortionary. But what it would do is lift our economic performance and overall consumption opportunities for people, overall wage levels. You know, a lot of the discussion about company tax rates suggests that it's companies that pay that tax. They're the ones who write the check. But actually, the impact of company tax is mainly felt in the wage rates that we can afford to pay workers here in New Zealand. If we can attract more investment, more high-returning investment, that will lift productivity and lift sustainable wage rates and living standards for all of us.
I think I like the sound of that.
Good, if only Nicola Willis did.
Yeah, right. So how do you see the 7 quarters from here on in playing out, Michael?
I still think we're going to see the economy being pretty weak for most of that time. And that's mainly just because what we call the lags economists. I mean, interest rates have been at 5.5% for the last year. The Reserve Bank started to ease them, but they're still 5.25%. Basically, a rate today has its maximum effect 12 to 18 months from now. So we're still going to see pretty subdued economic activity unless the Reserve Bank cuts pretty sharply. The other wild card is just what happens in the rest of the world. And a lot of economists are now beginning to focus on the real weakness coming out of China. You know, China used to be quite small on the international economy. It's now almost as big as the United States, depending on how you measure things. And so that adjustment that's taking place there, if it continues continues to roll on and demand remains very weak will spill over into the rest of the world. I think the environment for the next couple of years globally and for New Zealand is not a particularly positive one.
Michael Riddell, always great to hear what you have to think. Thanks for coming back on. We appreciate it.
Pleasure, Paul.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.